morning, Christ Church. I am so glad that you could be here with us this morning. I'm going to say a prayer and get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are a God who knows us by name, that we get to be called sons and daughters and friends. I pray, Father, that you would help center our hearts on you this morning. I pray, Father, that whatever's going on all around us, our faith, our hearts, our lives would be strongly centered and rooted in you. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of our family's favorite places to go is a lighthouse in Marblehead, and the lighthouse has been there forever. It was since like 1821. It's the oldest in continuous operation on all of the Great Lakes. And if you've ever been there before, it's this beautiful area. It's surrounded by all of these huge rocks that go right up to the lake. The shore is actually made of these limestone rocks, and my girls love to climb and jump and kind of hop all around, and we go right to the edge of the water and look around. It's just absolutely beautiful. But one of the things that we find so fascinating and always amazes me are these trees that grow right in the rocks there on the shore. There's a few of these trees in particular that stand out. Their roots have literally worn right through into the rock. They've worn their way through the rock, and they've managed to wear through the rock into the water to grow and to be healthy. And it's interesting to me because here they are, in contrast to all the rock and all the heart and everything that's going on around it, they're healthy and they're growing. And in spite of all of the weather and the storms that come in across the lake and the harsh, difficult winters and blazing summers, all of these seasons, and still these trees weather on, and they've managed to put their roots through the stone to get the water they need to be healthy and to grow. Now, it would never be the place that you would expect a tree to grow. Like, you wouldn't go out on these rocks and plant seeds there to grow trees. Wouldn't be the place you would pick. Usually, rocks get in the way and are a hindrance from growing plants and trees. But here, these awesome trees stand. They figured out a way to get the water, to get the sustenance they need to grow. Now, I know many of us have this feeling like we are trying to put down our roots in the middle of rocky ground right now. And it's not the place for many of us that we would have picked. It's not the perfect circumstances that we wish it would be, and we feel like we're fighting through these giant rocks of life, trying to be healthy, trying to find ways to grow, and trying to navigate all these ridiculously frustrating times. And it feels like these seasons we've worked our way through have been difficult, and we find ourselves struggling to get our roots into the right place. I find it so hard to contemplate. It has been a year. This week marked the year that the world shut down. Everything changed. The world changed, and our work lives changed, and school changed for our kids, and our social lives changed, and our home life changed, and all the holidays changed. And it feels on one hand like I can't believe it was a year ago, and then on the other hand, it feels like the longest year of my life, like we lived about 10 lifetimes in this last year. And we feel like we've come so far from where we were a year ago, but so many of us are still trying to find our footing and trying to get our lives centered after all of this upheaval and change. So today I want to direct us again one more time to think about, how do we center our lives on God? We spoke last week, remember, this is the God who has given us everything, who is trustworthy and faithful and stable enough to build our lives on. And as we center our lives on God, this is where we find our hope and our confidence, not in the constant disruption happening around us, but in the one who has authority over all things. He's the source for all that we need to exist. He is the one. From him comes everything we need, not just to get through the day-to-day, not just to survive the craziness of the world, but to grow and thrive right in the middle of it. So if we're going to center our lives on God, we got to know him better, because you can't put your foundation, your roots, on a stranger that we don't know. So today we're going to look, how do we get to know God better? And we're going to look at the very first psalm to help us with it. This is what the psalmist tells us in chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I love this imagery. Like, this first psalm is kind of like the gateway into the whole book of the Psalms about thinking about God and praising God and singing and praying to God and all these beautiful ideas that you find in the book of Psalms. And the psalmist says, listen, this is the person who lives a blessed, happy life. Think of the best expression of happiness and goodness and joy. That's the blessed life. It's not the person who looks around, they say, to the wicked sinners and scoffers on how to do life. But instead, they delight in what God has to say, and they spend time thinking about him. The blessed person is the one who doesn't just delight in what God says, but spends time with him thinking about what he says. The person who is truly blessed and happy and joyful and content isn't listening to all the voices of the world. I love how the Message says it. It says, the blind as bats, good for nothings, know-it-alls. There's so many know-it-alls in this world who want to tell us they know everything and we got to do what they say. And they say to be really happy, you have to, you know, live life a certain way and you got to live for yourself and you do you and whatever makes you happy, right? Like, who cares about anybody else? It's all about you. And they lay out the road to happiness through more, right? It's this constant more, 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 more stuff, more attention, more money, more accolades and praise and notice. And what we're reminded is those things fade away. They don't last forever. They wither and come and go. And this idea we've talked about, more never seems to make us happy. It's never enough because there's always more after it. And what we think would make us happy eventually wears off and is no longer exciting and new. More's never led to a content heart or been grounded in joy. Because as circumstances change, so does our well-being if that's what it's centered on. If my well-being is only centered on the things that are happening around me or the things that I have or what people like me or what people think of me or what's going on in the political world or on social media, those places are rocky and it's so hard to get good footing. Because our happiness for life isn't based on what's happening around us. It isn't based on what we have or what we don't have. But so many of us have always found our happiness or our unhappiness or our contentment or our discontent in these ways. And so it feels like it's constantly shifting and we just can't ever fully be happy. But the psalmist challenges us and says that's not really where you're going to find the most blessed life. Instead, it's based on where your life is centered, on whom we've centered our lives. What happens is there's so many voices, and they're loud, and they've got opinions and ideas telling us what to do and how to be happy, and they're convincing. And if we could just be like them or do what they say to do, then we'd finally be happy or follow these steps, right? But no matter how hard we've been trying, none of these things have ever led us to the truly blessed life. And we find all these gaps and these holes within ourselves. We find these gaps in our hearts and we try to find all these things to put in there to fill them up and we've had to cram in everything we can and it hasn't worked. We've chased after every single thing we thought would make us feel better, make us forget how hard it is. We've come up with every idea in the world on how to numb our pain or the hurt we've experienced and we've chased down every form of happiness the world has to offer. And still we find it's never enough. Still we find ourselves left empty and lacking. So the psalmist says, that is a way to center your life, but it's not going to lead to the contentment and the joy and the best life you could. Instead, the one who is blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. The psalmist says, The psalmist says when we spend time reading God's word and thinking about his big ideas, we're blessed. We're better for it. Our best life is found in this connection to God. The more time we spend with him, the better our lives are because of it. Now, not easier. Sometimes we have this misconception that once we know God or once we say yes to following him, life should just be easy and we should never have problems again. And then life gets hard and we struggle with God. Why is this happening? Why is this hard? Why aren't you doing something? And we miss that God never promises life will be perfect or easy. He promises that it will be better because he will be with us as we navigate our way through the hardest times. Connected to God, we have access to hope and love and grace and purpose and joy. When we center our lives on Jesus Christ, our greatest blessings come through him. And friends, we meet him, we know him in the Bible. In the Bible, God tells us about himself and he tells us about his work throughout all of time from the beginning until now. And we get to meet Christ and learn of his unfailing love for you and for I. We get to see how God's been working in the lives of men and women for thousands and thousands of years, just like you and me. We get to see what happens when people say yes and they go on an adventure of faith with God. We get to see what happens when people nobody would have picked, God calls to do incredible things, and he gives them the courage to show up and do the impossible. What happens is, in the Bible, we learn and we understand the will of God. We learn how to live life in the kind of way that's pleasing to him. We learn about truth and love and joy and humility and compassion and grace. And we get to see the results of these blessings in these ways. The psalmist says, when we spend time with God, when we read his word and we see what he's been doing and we get to know him better, what happens is we're like a tree that's been planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do, prospers. Now, you might have a green thumb and you might be really good at planting things. I'm not. But I keep trying because I keep convincing myself that one day I'm going to be, and I have actual real-life plants, like not fake plastic ones, but real-life plants in my house right now. And I have been working for months to try and keep these stinkers alive. And it isn't easy. Like, they need the right amount of sunlight. I picked ones that they said were hard to kill because I kill plants easily, and I've been trying to make sure they get the right sunlight and watering them. If you've ever skipped watering a plant because life is just busy and you forget it, like, it is easy to tell right away. They look droopy. I'm trying to pluck out all the dead leaves from there, pulling out the bad ones so the healthy ones can grow, and say a prayer for me. They haven't died yet, but they are not looking very good. But I'm constantly amazed by, like, you can tell if I don't water it very quickly what happens and how it starts to wither. And it's interesting because the psalmist gives us this analogy to think about our own life. Healthy things grow, and our souls are growing things, and they need to be nurtured and enriched. They need help to grow. And the help that we need, we find through God. And he gave us this awesome tool, the Bible, to help us. It becomes the place that we can go to stretch our roots and get the water and light that we need to grow our souls. It's a place we can go to get encouragement for our struggling hearts and the strength we need to do the work we have to do every single day. Healthy things grow. Healthy things produce healthy fruit. Unhealthy things cannot produce healthy things. They only produce unhealthy things. And what happens is we know if we're growing or not, if we're healthy or unhealthy, by what we find coming out of us. What we produce, what comes out of our mouth, what comes out of our heart is a real temperature gauge on where we are health-wise. When grouchiness is all I have to offer, I'm not in the healthiest of places. When I'm angry all of the time and that's what's kind of bubbling out of me, I'm not in a good place. when weariness and exhaustion are all that we've kind of got to show up with and bring to the table, it's signs that we haven't got ourselves to the healthiest place. I have another one. I don't know what this looks like for you, but I have a self-righteousness flag that waves in my head. Anytime I feel like really self-righteous, like I'm right, they're wrong, I'm doing what I'm supposed to, they're not, and I get myself all indignant and uptight, like that's a flag that waves in my head, like, hey, grouchy, like that's not a good place for you to be. That's not a production of healthy fruit. But the opposite is also true. The more time I spend with Christ, the better I want to be. The more I spend in his presence, the more I want to do better. The more time I spend learning about who Christ is and what he did and what he said and how he engaged with people, the more I want to be gracious, the more I want to be kind, the more I want to be compassionate. It also helps me to become aware. It makes me feel discontent with myself when my anger has gotten the better of me. It makes me more aware about the areas that I need to work on and where I need to be more patient and where I need to cool down and lighten up. Time with Christ pokes at my pride and opens me up more to humility. When we spend time with Jesus Christ, we find joy and hope even when the times feel rough and frustrating. By again and again putting ourselves in the presence of God, we don't wither, we prosper, we grow, we move forward in life rather than constantly being held back. We push forward into this future with hope and expectations, and we find that the blessed life we're all longing for is built on spending time with God, delighting ourselves in him, spending time thinking about him. Because here's the truth. I spend a lot of time with me. I spend a lot of time in my own thinking, in my own head, and in my own heart. But the truth is, my ideas aren't always right. My heart always isn't in the best place. And I need sometimes to challenge that and push back at it and think differently about what comes so easily and naturally to me. Our minds and our hearts get cluttered and they get filled with junk, like wrong beliefs and bad attitudes and bad feelings and misguided plans and things that aren't as they should be. But when I get to bump into God and I get to turn to him, I get to think about those ideas differently. I love this idea from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, often we're so burdened and overwhelmed with other thoughts, images, and concerns that it may take a long time before God's word has swept all else aside and come through. This is the reason why we begin our meditation with the prayer that God will send his Holy Spirit to us through his word and reveal his word to us and enlighten us. The truth is, I bring all of my junk into the relationship with God. I bring all of my past and all of the things that I've struggled with, and I bring all of these things with me. And I need help from God to swipe it all away, to open up some space in my heart to think differently, to hope differently, to practice life differently so that I can be changed, so that I can think about things and bump into truth again and again and again. And so it becomes this idea of, yes, life is hectic and it's weird and it's busy at times and monotonous at others and all of the day-to-day grind that builds up. But we get control of how we turn aside and what we turn to. We get to decide, what am I going to center my life on that I'm going to give the most attention to and the voice that speaks the loudest and the strongest to me? And this idea of turning aside again and again to God interrupts our daily routine. It changes the daily flow and allows me to put my attention on God, allows me to start carving out time to spend with him. And our attention is a powerful thing. Because where our attention goes, our thoughts go. And where our thoughts go, our hearts go. And that's the direction that our lives take. And so we get to choose, where am I spending my attention on? Where am I putting my focus and my thoughts and my thinking? And have I turned aside to spend that time with God? We all need this time in our life. It doesn't matter if you've never known God or you've known God for 50 years. we all need help in this crazy, hectic life. We all need to spend time with God, focusing on Him, thinking about Him, and meeting Him in His awesome good word. We have this Bible as an incredible tool to start meeting God there. And here's the cool part. You don't have to be a scholar to read the Bible. You don't have to have a doctorate degree, a college degree. You don't have to have any level of experience to start. You can meet God right where you are. The Bible is for everybody, and it has all levels of understanding and experience, and it's this vast collection of what God's been doing over this large amount of time. So I'm going to give us a couple ideas about how to get started today, because here's number one. It's really simple. We start by reading the Bible. The best place to start is to start, right? Like, you don't have to be an expert to start. You don't have to have everything figured out to start. You just have to start. And to start, you have to get two things figured out. The first one is time. You got to set time every single day to read your Bible. You got to make a place for it on your calendar. I don't know about you, but my days get the better of me a lot of days. And everything has to go in my calendar. Otherwise, it gets missed and skipped over and everything else becomes urgent. So what you got to say is, when am I going to set this time apart to read my Bible? Start with 15 minutes a day. Like, you don't even have to, like, I know sometimes we like to go big and, like, I'm going to read an hour a day, I'm going to do this. Start with 15 minutes a day. Where can you carve out 15 minutes every single day to spend time with God? You might be a morning person, you might be an evening person, maybe middle of the day lunchtime is your sweet spot, wherever it is. Just put 15 minutes every single day into your time to read the Bible and spend time with God. So once you got the time figured out, the next piece you got to do is figure out your plan. Like, how are you going to read the Bible? Because let's be honest, it's 66 books. So sometimes we feel discouraged because, like, we'll start strong and then we kind of fizzle and fizzle and fizzle, and then it's like, it's kind of hard to get back into. You don't have to overwhelm yourself with it. Like, when's the last time you read 66 books, right? It's a lot. But you can come up with a plan that helps you get to where you want to go. And your plan is just, where are you going to start and what are you going to read? To help you with it, we've got some Bible reading plans. If you go on our app in the notes section, there's a link. You can actually download this right to your computer if you want to. And it tells you the plan, or if you're going to be in person with us today, we've got copies for you. So what happens is, this plan is very simple. It basically says, week one, here's what you read in the Bible. Week two, here's what you read in the Bible. And you get a plan for every single week so that in 1 year, you can read the Bible all the way through. And I promise, it's not overwhelming. Like, the first day, I think the first week, you just read a handful of chapters and you get to plow your way through and see what God is going to do. Or if you have a Bible, a lot of really good Bibles have plans in there for you to read through and how to read through in a year. YouVersion is a great place to go. It's a great tool that has a ton of awesome plans for you. Or you could just start by picking a gospel. This time of year is a great time. Read one of the gospels. Read a chapter every single day and see about the life of Christ. You just get to pick one and start. And what happens is, you get to start meeting God there. Now listen, you're going to read stuff you don't understand. You're going to read stuff that you're like, I've got some questions about this, or you're going to feel challenged or see things in a new way. I promise you will meet Christ there. Expect to see things that are difficult, and that's why you've got people you can reach out. We'd love to talk through anything you come across that feels challenging or you've got a question about. I promise, every time I read the Bible, I'm like, on the phone, I'm like, this is new. I've never read this before. And I got to talk through some of the things that I read. But here's the truth. We don't measure our success by how many pages we've read. The goal isn't just to, like, mark off a certain number of pages. We measure our success by what's happening in our heart and in our mind as we connect through God to God through His Word. We see growth not in pages that we've marked off, but in what's happening in our heart and in our life and in our choices. So we start by reading the Bible. And then I'm going to challenge us a little bit. I'm going to push us a little bit further. The second idea is, what if we just memorized a Bible verse? The cool thing about the plan that we've got available for you is each week it's got Bible verses you can memorize. But something so incredible happens. As we read through the Bible, We're going to find verses that stick out to us. We're going to find these words that just speak to our heart in powerful ways, and we want to think about them more, and we want to spend some time with it. As we find them, write it down. Put it somewhere that you can think about it and say that verse again and again and again and memorize it, because it gives us good ideas to think about. It gives us powerful thoughts to challenge ourselves and words of hope to get us through miserable days. It gives us words of encouragement that we get to share with others. Sometimes it gives us the power and strength we need just to do life well. When we have these verses, these ideas, these great thoughts from God in our mind, in our heart, they become available, and we're going to have trying, hard moments in the future, and the Holy Spirit gets to use these ideas and recall to mind the things that we've thought about before that we need just in those moments. When we memorize these verses, it helps grow our hearts and our minds and our souls. And it becomes the healthy ideas that we get to think over again and again and again. I know we got a lot of things running through our mind. I know we have a lot of voices, things that we are worried about and stressed over or angry about or disappointed by or ashamed of or embarrassed about or guilty of. We hear the negative words that have been spoken to us, and if those weren't enough, we have the negative things. Nobody's meaner to us than we are to ourselves. And we need to, again and again and again, replay these words and these voices that go through our mind with the loving, encouraging words of Jesus Christ. We need the truth of God to run through our mind and our hearts to overwhelm the grouchy or the negative or the hurt or the angry. We need verses like, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I've said that verse to myself so many times because I needed it. We need words like, if God is for you, who can be against you? To remind us that we are not in this alone. We need the words that Paul spoke in Romans, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I need that reminder again and again and again. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. I need the idea that God is able to make all grace abound so that in all things, at all times, we will abound in all good works. God's already given me all the grace I need to succeed in this moment. That thought is powerfully encouraging to me. Sometimes in desperate moments, I need the reminder that God is near to the brokenhearted and that he saves the crushed in spirit. These words get to be the new voices that speak truth into our mind when we just pick one or two and memorize them. The idea that God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need the idea that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These become words and they become self-affirmations and encouragements and strength that he who began a good work in us will see it through to completion. And these become the words that we think about. These become the ideas that run through our mind, and we get to replace the unhealthy thinking with the healthy. We get to overwhelm the negative with the good. We get to again and again redirect the focus of our hearts and our minds and center our thinking on God and what he says and who he is. What if we just made a plan this week? You can use the one we suggested. You can use the one in your Bible. Go to YouVersion. But what if we all made it a goal? Every single day, 15 minutes a day, what might happen if we spent that time with God? What might happen in our heart and in our thinking, in our family, in our life, if we just turned aside to God again and again? The goal of doing this, of reading the Bible, of spending this time with God, is to cultivate a healthy spiritual life where we can grow closer to God. It's the opening up of space in our heart so God can do his good work in us and through us. And friends, we need God every day because life is messy.
I mean, I wish we lived in a perfect world, and I wish I could say this was a perfect day and nothing bad happened. Even on the perfect days, we still are us, and we bring us into these moments, and there's struggle, and we need to be encouraged, and we need to be reminded that God is good. Every day, you and I need help from God to grow and stay on the path that he's called us to walk. The quality of our life, I love this line, the quality of our life depends on the quality of our habits. Every single day, we get to make choices on what we do, and these become our habits. They become our normal routines, and they direct the well-being and quality of our life. And friends, one of the very healthiest habits each of us can establish in our life is spending time with God every single day and centering our lives on him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for myself. I pray for every heart listening here today that you would help us. I pray, Father, that we would feel excited and that we would feel a new inspiration to spend this time with you. I pray, Father, that we would make time this week, that we would come up with a plan, that we would read our Bibles, and that you would meet us there. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be like trees planted by streams of water, healthy, growing, and producing fruit. I pray, Father, what feels withered inside each and every one of us, you would pour your grace and your hope into, and that we would shine with health and grow through you. I pray this all in Jesus' name.